You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Someone once said, space is dark and cold. Our job is to bring light, bring warmth, bring life to wherever we go. Is this a hit it situation?
It's whatever kind of adventure we want it to be.
This crew is a team. The finest Starfleet has to offer.
Indeed.
It's possible they don't know about us.
They know about us.
There is evil in this universe, as sure as there is good.
The choices you make in that chair, they are yours to make and yours to live with.
We await your orders,
sir. You don't trust me with your best friend?
You don't trust me with your baby brother. It's madness.
We have to stop this invasion.
Prepare all weapons.
Going to find our way out of this together.
It's 1 in 1,000 we get it done right or don't blow ourselves up along the way.
I like those odds. We'll just turn it off before we blow up.
Give me 5. Now, down low.
Why would you do that?
Because you are too slow.
Oh, yes. Hello. Live long and wait. There we go. Got the right one. Live long.
There we go.
Live long and prosper for all of you out there. Hello. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion. I'm joined by Quinny and Jill and Peter. And tonight we are doing Star Trek. I always go to say Brave New World, and that's a different kind of tone in the show.
That is going, it's a very different show if it's Brave New World.
Strange New Worlds, but specifically Season 3, because we've all watched it, right?
Yeah. Season 3. Although technically that now looks like 4 or 6.
Yeah. Just be careful we don't. Just be careful we keep it this way, because we don't want to give a Vulcan salute anyway.
It's like... Here is waving hello, and here is a taxi. But
yeah.
And this is Elon Musk giving a Vulcan salute.
Oh, Jesus. No. Yeah, exactly. We don't need none of that Ponfar business. Hello to everyone in the chat. That's all there. Oh, it's a lot of people in the chat. Hooray.
Yay. Yes,
the month. Lively. It's the 9th month. Of the year already.
No. What?
I know, right?
Don't.
It's the 9th month of 2025, and we are back starting with this one. So how are we all feeling about it? Good? We're feeling good?
Fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
Happy.
Excellent.
Happy.
Peter, just quietly. Any good?
No, I'm good. I didn't realize I was ahead of most of you. I thought I was behind the game when I finally started watching.
Oh, no.
No, I was behind. I'm like, Peter's watching Strange New Worlds. Shit, I gotta go.
What do you mean you were behind? I literally just stopped watching the last episode before I pressed play, like, pretty much. I was like, I'm gonna get them all in. What's going on? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it since it came back, and I've just been going week to week, and I then suddenly realized when you were like, oh, I got a lot of catching up to do. I was like, oh yeah. Okay, good.
I'm glad to have kept a big chunk to just binge them all at once, because it's great.
It's very bingeable.
Mm.
I realized when I was visiting my parents a few weeks ago that my dad has a Paramount Plus subscription, which I do not have. So I was like, great, I can watch Strange New Worlds. But they hadn't started watching it. And they're both nerdy Trekkies. So I was like, well, now we have that. So I've actually been rewatching the first season with them as well.
Oh, good. You always get to go back.
And they're loving it.
Are you finding, like, because I haven't been back to rewatch the first season, are you finding a fairly big tonal shift from season 1 to season 3?
I'm finding that they're more in their fun this season. Particularly handsome out, like whenever
he gets
the opportunity to do anything is like borderline camp, he is there, which is great.
And I think there's some... he can do with his hair.
I love it.
My hair more vertical, please? Yes, Anderson.
Yes, you can. But also, can we do, like, what can we do that's just a subtle shift between season one and three that it does change? Like, I have noticed. I went through, I was watching it going, there's been a hair change. It's very small. You know.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Pete. What were you going to finish off saying?
Oh, just that I think that there's some very serious themes running through this season, but from an episode-to-episode basis, it hasn't felt heavy, which is nice because don't need that right now. I need the light, and the light is fun. The light is good. The light has given me lots of giggles and lots of little smiles and lots of texting you guys being like, oh wow, like I was wondering when the bit was going to end, and then it just kept going through the entire opening sequence and it gave me such a laugh.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't know what I was talking about because you hadn't started watching it at that point.
I had seen something saying, just whatever quit. You do for this week's episode, make sure you watch the intro space, the final
there frontier. Are a few that you just want to watch through.
I should have just opened with podcasts Tuesdays at 7:30. That's right. It's the show. We're here. Anyway, that's more we can explain. Do we have any sort of synopsis, Quinny?
It's a rough one because they generally don't do season synopsises, but I do have something that will probably do the trick.
Is there any recommendation of an accent that you prefer? Anyone's got something there? My personal preference is Trelane. But I mean, hey, I don't know.
Essentially just Murray from from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes. Restarting.
Okay. Imagine I can that. Do that.
Yeah. Can I don't know. Can we do
okay.
it?
Okay. Well, season three picks up after the season two Gorn cliffhanger. Very exciting on that one. Plunging the Enterprise into a desperate space battle and a dangerous invasion. The season explores various episodic stories, including a romantic comedy with Spock and Chapel, a thriller focusing on Doctor...
Oh, have we lost Quinny? Oh. Pedal faster, Quinny. Even in space. Are we going to lose him?
Signals being scrambled. We need to hardwire him in.
Yeah.
And a dangerous mission?
Exactly.
But fucking damn it.
Great. Oh, well, you're back.
And no, it's a dangerous fantastic. Mission where the crew turn into Vulcans. That's where it ends up.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, God. So annoying.
Dear, love it. Perfect. What would it be it without... Going... Yeah. It's the Gorn hegemony. That's what they're doing.
They can Gorn get fucked, they can.
They can. The same thing in our show description. So, go on, what are you waiting for? Plenty of Gorn jokes. Well, look, season three.
Gorn fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Season three, hot off the presses from season two, which I had completely almost forgotten about until I watched the recap at the start of the first episode. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what happened. And the thing with the last season and all of those bits that happened.
Season two was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
like this is one of those fucking annoying things of like modern TV where we are forced to have 2 years between seasons, like even on a real fast turnaround, and it's like, for God's sake.
Yeah, there was a red carpet interview with Anson, and they were asking him, oh, like, you know, what do you have in store, like, in future seasons? And he's like, oh, Jesus. Hang on, I need to try and remember what I can and can't talk about because we filmed this like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Like episode 210, Hegemony, was released August 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have shot it probably another year maybe before that.
Yeah. Like, I mean.
Depending on the special effects timelines and stuff. So
who knows?
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's been a little while. But, you know, I'm happy to wait, mainly because I really like all of the cast now that they've settled into their thing. We've had the fight between which is going to be the winning franchise and kind of like, yeah, not franchise, Star Trek is that, which is going to be the winning show, because like Discovery is kind of like, okay. And now Strange New Worlds is, yay, they're still going.
Well, the thing is, we had a brief period where there was like a golden age of Star Trek there, where we had Discovery, Prodigy, Lower Decks, and Strange New Worlds all on TV at the same time.
And Picard.
Yeah. And Picard, yes. Mm. And now there's one. is the survivor.
For now, because we have Starfleet Academy coming soon.
Yeah.
Which I live in hope of being, you know, something good and fun.
Yeah, it's good. Look, I mean, it's okay. One of the things I like about this one is it's very colorful, it's very fun, and they've gotten, I think, the right balance between we're doing kind of really comedy episodes, and but we'll throw in every now and again something really important and serious, and doing what Star Trek should be for, or science fiction, television science fiction should be, which is like, hey, we need a lesson here. We should talk about a morality tale, and then we should link it into the real world and then make you pay attention to it. So I've really enjoyed it. Like I was watching, like, oh, this is a great season. I'm into it.
My first comment to you guys when I started into it was like, oh, they're ticking all the boxes. We've got a Q episode. We've got a...
find the flower.
Secret rare flower mission, tick.
Yep. That was the Q episode, but like a flashback / crazy one, like puppets or cartoon kind of episode.
And now we've had our kind of crazy episode of the 4.5 Vulcans where it's like
transformation, body swap, all that kind of bullshit.
Finally, an explanation of why there was no holodeck on the Enterprise in the Kirk era.
Because it was not fucking safe.
Which is just great. It's like, oh, we can't have this one. No, this was too bad. Terrible.
Yeah, I love that they're kind of like, we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff that could potentially completely break canon. But then we're going to just go, no, just push that away.
No, we give a good explanation as to why there was no holodeck on Kirk's Enterprise and that it needed to be refined until it got onto Picard's Enterprise.
Yes.
We've had Kirk's first foray as a captain this series.
Yeah.
Which was rather good,
it had manipulated in a way that he had a lot of his crew with him for that, which was like very cool. I can't wait for my parents to get to that episode. They're going to get a kick out of that. I mean, the reason I started watching this series, I was very like, ugh, there's too much Star Trek. I can't start watching a Star Trek. I watched the movies. I watched Lower Decks. That's enough for me. And Jill was like, Peter, you just have to watch it for the musical episode.
Yes.
100%.
So I committed to this for one of the fun episodes. And while I appreciate the serious sci-fi episodes, I very much appreciate that they're having more fun this season and in different ways. And I think that the writers are even finding ways to have fun at themselves, which is also fun. but you're right, Dion. Like the fun is not trivial. It always leads to a message or a larger character arc or plot point or something that moves the story forward, at least for one of the characters, if not for the season.
For the love of God, will someone stop Q from breeding? We don't need more of these things.
And that was a fun one too, because that was very, like, very much a throwback to the original series. Like,
Trelane was in the original series.
Yeah, and I'd completely forgotten that he was an existing character. Mm. I was like, oh shit, yeah, no, that's cool. But then you'll get an episode that is like kind of outliery, but also like very, very Trek, which is like the cosmic horror episode, where, you know, they go into essentially an old, I don't know, multi-dimensional fortress where suddenly things are split off and then you're dealing with these things that for all the world look like soul-eating fucking demons from another dimension, and you're like, oh, okay, right. Yeah. So you're having a little bit of a tilt at some Lovecraftian fucking
Did we do a little bit of an Event Horizon?
A little bit?
A little bit of The Cube.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All of those things. And I was like, sweet, cool. Because, like, the season has had a fair amount of people going, oh, it's too funny. It's too light, too... And I'm like,
fuck him.
Yeah, well, exactly. he's a new character. Let's kill him.
I feel like they could have pushed that horror episode further, but they didn't bring enough killable characters with them.
No, they just talking needed about two more red shirts.
Like, they literally had someone that like brought in a character and popped their eyes so that there were just cavities and then kept referring to it, and then it actually was a demon. Like, come on. What do you mean? You got to go back to the original Star Trek, you know, where it's like, oh, a bath mat's attacking us. Scariest thing on the planet. Ah. You know.
Yeah.
Remember that in fucking Star Trek The Next Generation, literally one of the scariest things was a pool of black that ate a crew member.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that was terrifying back then.
Still kind of terrifying now.
Yeah, the sentient black pool.
Yeah. Who has a name and I can't remember what it is. Mm. I'm sure somebody in the chat will remind us.
That's why we
how many lights?
Yeah. How many lights are there?
Yeah. There are three.
I mean,
lights.
We've got big fun things coming down the path towards us in season 4 too. They've announced that there's a puppet episode in that one, so.
Puppets!
Yeah, I saw a screenshot of that when I Googled it earlier. Gotta love a puppet episode. Like, you think that that's when you're jumping the shark, but no, I don't think necessarily that's
the
case.
Can we also, like, not refer to it as a puppet episode? Because it is a Muppet episode. They look exactly like fucking Muppets. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, it is, and I'm pretty sure it was actually designed by Jim Henson's crew.
So exactly. Yeah, so I'm going to call them a Muppet episode.
Angel had a Muppet episode. Anyway.
Stargate SG-1 had a Muppet episode, didn't it?
They sure fucking did.
I love that kind
Muppet
of...
Farscape
was every day was a Muppet episode.
God damn it, you beat me to the punchline.
Yeah, so it's like, when you don't know what to do, write a Muppet episode. Trust me, the fans will be like, yes, I love this.
Like, I love that this is now one of my TV tropes. It's like Underground Fight Club and then Muppet episode.
Yeah,
exactly. But they didn't have an Underground Fight Club in this show because they don't need to.
Yet.
Because they're doing, well, I mean, eventually we all get there. We haven't had our Underground Fight Club yet. Eventually we will, though.
Maybe you just invited Dion.
I've just started one.
Didn't that you could handle it.
I just remember there's also a zombie episode.
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah, there was a zombie episode. Same episode as the secret, the rare flower mission.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you typed, yay, it's a rare flower mission, I'm like, lol.
That's a zombie episode, thanks very much.
I do love that, though, that we could all find a little bit of, you know, like, because everybody knows their Trek, you know, tropes, as it were.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And I mean, this is good. They're paying attention to the stuff that's come before them, obviously, but they're giving it their own spin, and they've created characters which by name are somewhat familiar in some cases, but also expanding on ones that, you know, are their own. And I feel like this cast has really, you know, created their own kind of world for us to attach to. And I'm really excited by that. I mean, I know that we have the traditional ones, but these are all kind of somewhat familiar names, but more interesting. So I really like it.
I'm really enjoying Carol Kane even
more. Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I was unsure
she's got
when they
such zingers in there.
I was great. Unsure when they put her in season 2. I'm like, "Oh, this could go either way cuz she's so ham, but oh my god. I am loving her this season."
I want to know who was the casting person who made that decision because holy shit.
Yeah.
Like it was a big swing, but you've hit for the fences.
Do you feel like they just wind her up and let her go? Like she doesn't actually have a script?
It kind of sounds a bit like that. The LSD line in the most recent episode that like cracked me up. I was like, nobody wrote that. That's just her.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where you, and also everyone, this is the thing, like everyone looks like they're actually having a lot of fun.
Mm.
Yes.
So
particularly in the fun episodes, they just,
yeah.
Let her
They're letting her rip.
And her delivery is so weird that, like, you're kind of like, okay, cool. Let's go with you on that one then.
But fine, it works if someone who's like basically an immortal who lives forever, they would be weird. You'd sort of talk to them. They're very smart. They know stuff that's going on, but they would just not be delivering the same way. It'd be kind of like someone that you run into that's like, oh, you speak in like iambic pentameter, like a Shakespeare poem. It's like, yeah, that's because how I speak. You'd be, that's weird. That makes sense? Yeah.
It does. Okay. I just enjoy her and every scene that she shows up in. Like initially, I was like you guys, I was a little bit like, oh, she could be a bit much for this show.
Yeah.
But, you know, she finds her comfort zone. And I think pairing her off with Scotty kind of means you're like, okay, right, well, they're both kind of in a particular style of comedy and stuff.
Scotty has been a favorite of mine this season. I think he's really fitting in well with the rest of the crew. And I love his style of comedy and his own like personality and nature.
Agreed. I think he's a very good addition and does a very good job. Like what I like about this is that so often they're not trying to be the original series. Like, nobody's doing a Kirk impression apart from in that one episode where he does a Kirk impression. But it's very intentional.
No, they've just taken like the bare bones of what are the characteristics of that character and how are you going to perform it as an actor? And I think I really appreciated what they're doing with the names that they've been given.
Yeah. There's a part of me, I'm like, when do we get Bones? When do we get, you know, Dr. McCoy?
Yeah.
At the same time, you go, well, you know, maybe that is, you got to leave something. We've still got two more years.
If you get rid of Menga too soon, man. No.
Yeah.
He's kind of like fan favorite for me.
Yeah.
Every time he has dialogue, I'm like, what are you going to say next? Is it kind of scary? Because you're a scary dude.
You know, Mbenga reminds me of Book from Firefly.
Yeah.
In that, you know, he's a quiet man and a man of peace, but you know that he will fuck you up real bad and has done terrible things.
Well, having that documentary episode, it's like, you know, kills at this planet, this battle, redacted.
Yeah. But redacted doesn't not mean zero.
No. Exactly. No. Just means just redacted. Yeah.
Pretty good.
It says that. Watch a documentary.
I was just going to ask, how do you feel about that, Pete? Hang on, you've muted.
Yes, I'm just trying to mute the noise of my washing machine in the background.
Oh, right.
Yes, it's a documentary episode, and and that boy needs to learn how to use a camera.
No, but see, this is the ultimate,
like, amazing technology. Like, it's probably stabilized then.
No, but remember they explained that earlier, which is the camera actually looks for micro movements and to hone in on emotions.
Subtext. That's a subtext camera.
A subtext camera. That's how they go in the future. They'll be shaky handy cam.
Yeah,
I did like that the documentary started off with like one agenda, but then by the end of it kind of switched its focus.
I mean, there was an element of that one that reminded me a bit of the Deep Space Nine episode in the Pale Moonlight, I think it's called. The one of the most famous DS9 ones where Sisko is talking about all of the terrible things he's done to essentially start or stop a war.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ends up deleting the log because it's like, no, this is literally evidence of war crimes. And this had kind of some of that where you're like, people are doing bad things and, you know, are doing things that are morally very questionable. But are they doing it for the right reasons? You know.
But I think that's the narrative for this season, isn't it? Like, are they blindly taking orders from Starfleet and not questioning, or, you know, are they, you know, is it just a unquestioning abiding by the rules that they've been given, or is there more to Starfleet than just orders?
Mm. Yeah, and how you interpret them.
Mm.
Because, like, that episode, like, you know, not particularly subtle in its messaging either.
No. But Star Trek's always been a morality-focused science fiction.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
I enjoyed the moral quandary that they're presenting, and if you want to look mm-hmm. for parallels to modern world conflicts, they're not hard to find.
Yeah.
Sure. And also space whale-ish thing. Space butterfly. You know, sentient space butterfly.
Gun with a conscience.
Gun with a conscience.
Or more importantly, bomb with a conscience. Very hard to say, apparently.
I did enjoy that episode. I thought, like, the creature design was beautiful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved that question of, you know, what if you are selling weapons, or what if you are... How would the weapons feel about being sold or used?
It's the Iron Man moment.
Mm, yeah.
It's like, oh, the bombs that you sold, the bad people just blew you up. So now what do you do?
Yeah. Like, that's when Star Trek's at its best, when it's doing the moral conundrum thing, when it's presenting you and also not necessarily giving you a clean ending or a clean moral answer.
Or including moral conundrums or morally interesting questions within the episode. Based on the stuff, like the clip that I have.
Oh, do we have a moral conundrum?
Oh, we don't have a moral conundrum. We just had an interesting time. What happens if you have to go to a planet and you have to turn everyone Vulcan? You know? Should we go and have a look at that one?
Yeah.
I was able to jury-rig the Kirkovian serum that turned human Spock back into a Vulcan. Should be able to do the same for us. Only in reverse.
The sensory change is brief. The feeling is instantaneous. I will guide you to the sensation until you are acclimated, which should not take long. Physical adjustments follow soon after. I would suggest a deep breath. By the time you reach 3, it should be over. 1, 2, 3.
My emotions feel
overwhelming. All I cannot handle.
Oh, this.
You don't feel anything?
No. And to be honest, I'm a little jealous. That looked like fun.
This feeling is unusual.
My perception has increased. Everything I once found dull now seems to be fascinating.
Poop.
I wonder if the serum did not work on you because you're Lanthalite.
Honestly, I had the same problem with LSD in the 1960s and the 1990s and last July.
Since Pelia cannot become Vulcan, I can cover her part of the mission.
I suppose I can direct you from the bridge. 5 Vulcans should be more than enough down there.
4 1/2.
Spock is only half Vulcan, whereas the 4 of us
are fully Vulcan.
Is that not logical, Spock?
Is that not logical, Spock? If you're only 4 1/2 Vulcans, or in this case, 3 1/2 podcasters.
Yes, or in that case, 3 3 1/2 Vulcans and 1 Brisbane chick.
Hey.
Oh my god, the episode where she just went full Aussie.
Yeah,
it's just relaxing. Like,
yeah, no accent in this one.
She was having a great time. Very good.
Yeah, she's a Brizzy girl. I didn't know that.
Just leave her. Leave Jess alone. She's doing great.
I'm very
visual artist. Like, heaps of design. Some of the dress from the wedding episode.
Oh, that dress. Yep. The costumes in that wedding episode. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Especially like the Starfleet dress uniforms were beautiful, but yeah, the wedding dress was gorgeous.
Yeah. That was from the episode where they all had to turn into Vulcans, which I love. One of those things like, ah, yeah, we can turn someone into a genetic replica of a Vulcan, right? That's fine. That's normal science.
Yeah. Easy.
For this. Yeah. Because
and it's like that.
Yeah. Instantaneous.
Instantaneous.
Yeah.
Hair gets another 3 feet taller.
Yeah.
Eyebrows get painted on. Like, I love it.
I want to know what the genetic thing was that his hair went vertical. Because all other Vulcans have bowl cuts. Yeah. Why did his go vertical? And he turned into Guile from Street Fighter.
You leave Anson Mount alone. I feel like he
Sonic,
has...
Sonic, boom.
He has... but then, of course, this is one of the things I think Pete was talking about earlier. They do a new intro to the episode.
Yeah,
but delivered in a Vulcan way. Like that's the kind of nod to understanding that the both the characters and the writers have about the world that they're playing with. They know when to bend and break stuff for good effect.
So there have been three alternate opening credit sequences so far this season.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And there's only two.
Now I'm starting to wonder whether I skipped one. What were the others?
The documentary, the 60s TV show, and the Vulcan.
And there's only two episodes left in this season, but thankfully season four's coming soon.
Good. I don't think I can wait another 2 years.
No, it's too good. And it's too good. Like, I don't want that feeling that I had after the end of the last one where it's like, oh, we're built to a massive cliffhanger. And like the Gorn storyline was a big cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, by the time you come back 2 years later, I got no fucking clue what's happening.
I mean, it's good to know that we still have to wait till 2026 with an undisclosed release date. So we still got to wait till next year.
That's okay. Next year.
I can cope
with
that.
Next year's 4 months away.
Shut up, Jim. Shut up,
Jim.
Ow.
You came here and chose violence.
Yeah, what happened
sure
to you?
I sure did.
This is God.
So, do we have any favorite episodes of the season? Does each person have a favorite? My
God, I had to choose a favorite.
No, don't make me choose between my children. That's not fair.
I think definitely the Vulcan one, actually, because that was just like so ridiculously fun and stupid, and also Patton Oswalt as a human-loving Vulcan that has like unbelievable pull with number one was like crazy.
Like, seeing her totally melt for him was just like, I love
Doug.
It.
Doug the Vulcan.
Didn't he have like a bunch of other friends whose children had human names as well?
Yeah, so stupid.
I love Doug the Vulcan.
Yeah.
I like the holodeck episode. It just looked like everyone was having so much fun.
That was good as well.
And I love like a cross between a complete piss take on their own genre and like a period whodunit. And the opportunity to remind us all why the very show that they are talking about is special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. There's a part of me that was sad when we left the sci-fi, piss take behind and went to the whodunit kind of stuff. But also I was like, it's holodeck. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're allowed to have both, Quinny.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you
want.
What
about you guys? What were your favorites?
I didn't have a favorite. I've been enjoying all of them. Like I've got to say, I don't think there has been an episode where I'm like, I mean, you can kind of feel that way.
I really did like that overlapping dimension one though too. That was just cool.
That's trying through the lens of time.
Yeah, and like trying to work out what was happening. That was really cool. I liked it.
Yeah, I was just into that. Like I loved the mystery of it, and I loved the kind of. Yeah, it's very Star Trek. Okay, we've now got to work out who's doing what in different dimensions and stuff. But also, I just love the straight-up fucking cosmic horror element. Like, a bit Event Horizon, a lot just Lovecraft.
Yeah.
You know, Lovecraft in space. And that was just like, yes, thank you. I'm all down for this.
I mean, I've been enjoying, like, from the last season as well, the Gorn as being set up as the main kind of Borg-like villain. But they kind of had, did you ever notice they have the kind of the same powers as the Borg? Like, if they touch you, you can be infected with their children who will eat you and reap. And it's sort of like, oh, I don't want an enemy that if it just gets near you, you're sort of fucked. It's a bit overpowered. And then, they defeated them by putting them into a sleep cycle. What? Okay. Sure.
Mm.
I mean,
I was hoping that the Gorn, we may get more of them as a potential threat. But I am enjoying the plot thread of Winona Earp being eaten inside by a Gorn.
Captain Battelle.
Yeah. Sorry, I had a moment. Couldn't remember her name, just Winona Earp.
Sure. But yeah, like, I mean, all of that's kind of fun. I kind of honestly now want them to put them away and go, we've done enough Gorn now, except for one very glaring thing. I want them to explain how the Gorn became that one Gorn that Kirk had to fight.
Yes, I know, the one that Kirk punched on with.
Just write it down. Just write it down as it's some sort of, like, ain't like old one or something, like it's just a real ancient one that can't do much. It's like,
an offshoot, evolution,
like one of the Klingons that had the mustaches.
Maybe it was a human that had to like adapt the Gorn things. Like, maybe it's Marie Patel, maybe she becomes that Gorn. Who knows?
Perfect, no notes. No notes. She eventually ends up becoming a Gorn and fights Kirk.
I love it. Yeah.
Perfect. Do you think they've
got 2 episodes left? It kills me. I want more.
Yeah.
So you'll get them. They're still going. Anson Mount's rider now includes as much hairspray as he can possibly add to his hair.
Good. Good.
You know what I wish? I wish we could have one more crossover with Lower Decks. It's never not going to happen.
Oh,
but you just have to rewatch that episode.
Yeah, like I feel like Lower Decks gave this show a lot of the permission to be silly. Because there's always been a kind of a preciousness about Trek, and you have to take it kind of seriously, to a degree. And shows like Lower Decks kind of said, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can laugh at yourself.
They weren't super straight-laced in the first season. Like, you could tell there were nods to the original series in, like, having a fun episode and a serious one.
Yeah.
There was that in the first season.
And it's funny when you think back and realize that all of this actually started in Discovery. Like, the whatever season of Discovery it was where Pike was the co-captain of the Discovery.
Two,
yeah. Mm. And you're like, wow, totally, that's a whiplash.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, but they're doing okay. I'm happy with where the direction of new Trek is going. This is fun. It's got that old flavor of like, hey, it's a weird world. It's got strange things, Might run into something and be like, oh, that's weird. I hope we get a couple more fun ones rather than a couple more, like, story ones. Of course, it's, the cliffhanger has to have some sort of story, but, like, I've really enjoyed that mix, and I hope we get it in the next season as well. Like you said, the Muppets one, that's going to come,
I do find it interesting that this one structurally has gone so far away from Discovery, like, because the last couple of seasons of Discovery were very, like, long arc. Like, each episode was very much a part of a bigger story, and almost they weren't that standalone. Whereas this, I feel like, is much more episodic, and it's like, this is a very self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with a smattering of larger arc stuff in it.
Are you kidding me? This is large arc stuff just all through it. There's always a little bit. There's a little sprinkle.
A little sprinkle, but it's not like, there's a massive story, and like any single episode wouldn't work by itself.
Sure.
Which I think is nice, because that to me is how I always saw the original series. Like, it's Monster of the Week. It's, Conundrum of the Week.
Conundrum of the Week. But but more fun stuff. Also, it's really nice to see Jonathan Frakes directing again, who seems to do just like that person knows. He knows. He knows what he's doing. Yep.
Which episodes did he do this season?
Take a guess.
No? The Trelane episode?
The Space Holodeck Hour.
Oh, fucking, of course it was the fucking holodeck one.
Yeah. Yep.
yeah, including the Riker maneuver.
Getting on the chair.
Oh, my God. He, like, caned himself in the thigh trying to get over that fucking chair. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love it that Jonathan Frakes directs a thing and has someone fail the Riker maneuver so that it can be canonized.
The chair was so high.
Yeah, I can't do this. This isn't going to work.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to, once this is over, I'm binging from season one again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
there's
just
not
worth
that
it.
Many episodes, and it's definitely well worth
should,
it.
Should we go to the clip of the credits of that episode, which is just a piss sure. take as it's going through, and then we can come back and talk about what the rest of the month is? Yeah, there's no review this week. We're not reviewing it. Like no figure.
Go
required.
And watch it. Like if you're on the fence, go and watch it.
Yeah.
I give it 100 anyway.
It's been certified banger after banger.
Oh, hang on. Where are your tits at? Like just
but they're gone.
Lost them both.
My tits have been beamed off.
Yeah. Beamed your tits off. Especially this episode. So we'll watch the credits, which is just fun.
We will eat the human food pies. Is it pies or piles?
It's pies.
Pies?
Back.
Oh. How's this? How about this? God damn it! You guys, is it Nebula? Whoa!
Then we'll need a leg up. That's
thought
my
I
line.
I had the leg bit.
What?
Line?
Why would you have the leg bit?
I don't know. I thought I had the leg bit.
Well, it's clearly my line. It's a captain's line. Why would she have the leg bit? It's my line.
Yeah. We're waiting on sound.
Hey.
I've lost her.
I've lost her. I've lost her.
Jesus Christ, I was trying to get my leg over. This chair. Can someone fix the chair, please? I can't work like, open the door.
Help! Help!
Yeah, I got you.
Yes, ham everywhere. I love this. That was very, very funny.
So cool.
Great. Okay, sorry if Casper is asking the chat, what's this tit ratings?
Turns out he knew it was to be punny. He's all good with it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that one, but yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
I was looking at the chat.
Okay, good. Just double checking. We come up with random things and you may not have been around. That's fine.
Somebody could jump in after 6 weeks and go, why have they rated everything tits?
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean? Tits on or tits off? Yeah. How many tits are we doing now? New for 2026. Just tit ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of this. Go watch Star Trek Brave New World Season 3. It's great. Watch 1 through 3. It's all fun.
You'll have a good time.
Highly recommend it. What are we doing for the rest of the month?
Stuff. Things.
Stuff and things. Next week is Red Sonja. Not the cult cinema Red Sonja. The new 2025 Red Sonja. Don't look like that, Peter. Yeah, the new one. There was a Red Sonja movie from the 80s with Bridget Nielsen. But this one is the new Red Sonja. And then we're doing Eddington, which it will be interesting. I'm actually very interested to hear what you guys have to say. And then finally, it may have been more than 10 years in the making because I have been wanting to review this for more than 10 years, but we are doing the cult cinema 1982 classic Megaforce.
Eid Nodor.
Do I even need to ask what this is?
You don't. You need to.
I think we may actually need to like watch it together or something because I don't know how I'm going to get through this.
I want you to experience it.
You got to. You just have to. Like, I mean, I know it sounds. It's look. I want to tell you all about it, but I can't because I want to let you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd harassed Quinny. I finally made him watch it. I watched it with him, and then he was converted. He hated the idea of having to watch it, and then he watched it, and he got converted. So
I fought quite hard.
Yeah,
and I was like, many years. This is fucking stupid. This is really dumb. And then after I watched it, while I was watching it, I was like, oh shit, I get it now.
Yeah.
I understand what this is, and I don't want to tell you what it is because it'll spoil the revelation of what it actually is, but it's a 1980s thing that is like to anyone who was born in the 80s, you will understand part of this in your soul.
Cult cinema classic. You've got a few weeks to track it down and have a watch of it yourself. If you want to do that, you can go out there and I can't tell you how to find it. I can just give you the title and the year that it was made, and then you can rush out and have a look for it. As a twofer though, just like what I will say is, if you want to watch Megaforce and Rocky Horror Picture Show as a twofer, I highly recommend that.
You can download it. You can get it on Amazon Prime or Apple TV, both to rent here in Australia by the looks of us. No, that's US. Hang on.
Sure. Who knows? You can probably buy a DVD of it for about $4 bucks. Like, you could rent it for $6.99. Yeah, you could rent it for $6.
Realistically, you could probably buy a VHS of it.
Yeah. It's probably $6.99 to rent and $4 to have it shipped to your door from Amazon. Like, that's probably the way that we're going.
I know is with Eddington, I still haven't seen Ari Aster's last film.
Yeah. So there's Hereditary and
I've got a lot to do. I've seen Hereditary. I've seen Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Bo is Not Afraid is the one that I've not seen. That was the last one that also had Joaquin Phoenix in it as well. I've not seen that one.
Yeah.
And then I got distracted by Predaganger. He said that new movie, Honey Don't, has Chris Evans in a jock strap. So I was like, hello.
Hello.
Hello, lady.
Hello. So that's on our cards. I mean, a really an interesting, you know, hey, what are they doing with Red Sonja? Interesting. Hey, Eddington, that's a thinker. Like, use all your highbrow stuff now until we get to the end of the month where it's just going to be, oh, my God.
And we did talk about doing Spinal Tap 2, apart from the fact that it comes out after our episode release date. And because it is a Tuesday month, we are taking a break for one of those Tuesdays.
Yeah. Yes.
That is our thing that we choose to do.
Yes, because four's enough.
Yeah.
Just in a month. Four Tuesdays is enough in a month. Five is right out.
And the number of the Tuesdays shall be three.
Four. Four, sir.
Four. Oh, no, I'll take three.
Sure. But, you know, there's nothing to stop it from happening in October or Spooktober.
Yes.
So don't forget, Spooktober is coming back.
Wait, I wanted to do Wrestling October.
Oh, that's right. You wanted to do Wrestling October.
I wanted to do a Wrestling October.
Yeah.
Get in the ring, motherfucker.
You can watch Fighting With My Family, The Wrestler.
I still haven't seen The Iron Claw. I need to
The Iron Claw? That. Look, that's three already. That's three wrestling movies for October already. Peter looks thrilled. Three.
I'm very busy in October.
Uh-oh. Cool.
Wow. I'm very busy in October washing my hair. Predaganger, yes, it is Wrestling October. And we will be doing an awful lot of wrestling related content. I'm looking forward to it. I actually enjoy a lot of the big sweaty men in Lycra.
Also,
we have two of them in the country right now filming Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Vega.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Vega one of them?
No.
Cody Rhodes is...
Cody Rhodes is playing Guile.
With the hair.
Roman Reigns is playing Akuma. But Vega is played by Orville Peck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice.
Star-studded cast. This is going to be a fucking bonkers movie.
I just
50
hope
that Cent, it, like, is a wild, wild
as
cast.
Bison, which I still think is crazy. Yeah. And it, in related news, unfortunately, Mortal Kombat has been put back till March next year.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. So everybody was like, yeah, October, Mortal Kombat. And they have pushed it back to March 14th, I think it is, next year, with the announcement that they've basically gone, we think it's a good enough movie to be a summer tentpole film. So,
okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Oh, so we'll delay it. Thanks.
Well, we're past summer. They don't want to release.
Yeah,
it
I know. So
in
it's
the
like
dog time of year.
It's like thanks. You know, there's not only just summer in America, you fucking morons.
yeah.
You know. Meanwhile, they're sticking with Avatar: Fire and Ash. Just bunch that. Just pump that one. That one can go to March next year. No one's going to give a shit. Put Mortal Kombat out.
Yeah.
Christmas time.
I mean, the other possibility is that it's in deep shit and they need to do a bunch of reshoots. But
that sounds like very negative thinking.
And I personally choose to believe that it is a positive, and they think that it's a good film, so they want to give it an actual good run at making some money. That's my desire to believe that. Pete's face says otherwise.
I believe it too. Jeez.
Predikanga is saying we've got some Aussie media coming out next month. New Hollow Knight Silk Song, which is an Aussie independent game developer and Hollow Knight has been hugely successful as a game. And interestingly enough, about 7 other games moved their release date to not try and conflict with it. Because they know in terms of indie games, it's the fucking the big footprint. So that's rather cool. I'm not sure where in Australia it's made, but I think it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
And
what else are people watching? Like, well, Jill, what else have you been doing, huh?
Last weekend, specifically.
Yeah, I went to Capricorn.
Yay.
Yay. How was that? Did you have fun?
Yes. It was great.
Good.
I love going.
Excellent.
This is my fourth year there, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. Rocky's a nice little town. Like, yeah. I did discover when they locked the bottle shop at dark, it's probably best not to walk around by yourself. No, I had no trouble. That's great good. People up there.
Oh, Hollow Knight devs are from Adelaide.
And Peter, did you also go to Rockhampton on the weekend? Nope, did not go to Rockhampton on the weekend.
Apartment and had a sore throat.
Oh, that's all. I hope your throat gets better.
Me too.
Yeah. Because you've got a big October something, mysteriously. Mysteriously, you have a big October.
Very, very busy October.
Very big. Okay, you keep your secrets then.
Yeah, you're going to more things where people are going to give 15-minute standing ovations to your films or something? Because it seems to be the thing. Is it Cannes on at the moment where multiple films are like, yeah, it's a 13-minute long standing ovation. I'm like, that's just wank.
Yeah.
That's a lot of minutes.
Fucking hope it is.
Although, you know, all reports are that Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein is the tits. So like,
that trailer looks fucking sick. I can't wait for that movie.
Yep.
Which did get a 14-minute fucking standing ovation. I'm like,
wow. Right. Okay.
But then again, so did a movie with The Rock in it. So
what one was that?
That drama one with Emily Blunt.
Something.
The Smashing Machine,
yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. He can cry himself to sleep on all his tequila.
Yeah, he's wearing a wig and some eyebrows. It's weird.
It's a look. It's a choice of look.
Quinny, you've got to practice your voice for ring announcer
synopses
for all of October. Ladies and gentlemen.
I will find some of the best ring announcer scripts that I could possibly find.
Yeah.
And I will warm up these vocal tones.
Great. Oh, well, thanks everyone for joining us for talking about Star Trek. And then see you all next week for Red Sonja. And if you want to go right down the rabbit hole, watch the Bridget Nielsen Red Sonja. I will be, because I don't have any self-control.
a reminder that the Bridget Nielsen Red Sonja is technically a kind of spin-off slash sequel or whatever to Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, maybe so, I'll go fully down the rabbit hole and I'll watch Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, Red Sonja, then the Jason Momoa Conan remake.
Oof.
Then this Red Sonja remake.
I mean, you could do that.
Yeah.
That Wait, sounds was like Scorpion a Scorpion King like one of those spin-offs too?
No, that's in The Mummy.
Oh, that's The Mummy.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what franchise that was.
No, no. Momoa is in the Conan remake.
Right.
Yeah.
And I never could get on board with it because for some reason that version of Conan wore pants.
Like, yes.
You know.
And then in what is it? Chief of War, no pants. Come on, man. You should have done that originally.
Yep.
Just let Momoa get around in a loincloth. People pay for it.
I need to go back and watch the rest of that.
Yeah.
I finished Twisted Metal.
Oh, nice. I haven't finished that yet. Did you enjoy it all the way through?
I did. Yeah.
Excellent.
And it seems like they'll make another season.
Nice.
Yeah, they left it pretty much open for another one, so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. I will catch up on that very, very soon. And Pete, you said that you'd watched Peacemaker episode 2 and didn't find the dance number as problematic.
I dug it more the second time around. Maybe they're right about once you kind of understand the themes of the episode, the ballad makes sense.
I had the same thing. I watched it and I was like, oh no, I think I understand this a little bit better now.
Oh no, we all hold the opening cattle dance.
I mean, I haven't learned the choreo yet, so it's
going to throw your shoulders up.
But lots of this business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Right. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, everyone in the chat. Quite fun watching you all talking about stuff.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah. You leave it alone, you Trekkies or Trekkers or however you wish to be named. I just can't start a fight. I don't want to.
Okay. See you
soon. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.